can't hardly believe that it's the last night. That's hard for me. When he opened up what worship was, private worship, I didn't have a lot of use for it in the holiness and exuberant and go get 'em days. When he revealed it to me, it turned out to be one of the most powerful things that I've ever stepped into. Thing people want to know and learn and is Him. The Word of God and the revelation of it and what it was came to fullness in me. And I don't mean knowing, I mean understanding what it is. He said, God's not a man that He can lie. And I looked at every word. People would try to talk you out of it. Like, there's a lot of mistakes in Biblia where all the scrolls were stored until people who knew picked the ones to put it together and the Bible formed. And everybody tried to get in unbelief into you, saying, how do you know that one is the right one? This isn't, that is. I can guarantee you, God's got His seal on every word that's in that Bible of yours. See? So looking at Him, I was looking at His Word, knowing this, He's not a man. He can't lie. He can't. Well, you know, to know, He can't. He can't. Then do you know what He give you to use freely? His Word. His Word. A whole new meaning and understanding came concerning His Word, concerning meditation, concerning His power, concerning people. One day, the love of God, you keep going, it'll just pull you over to the side, park you for a minute, and measure the worth of people for you. And that will be a day. Hallelujah, Jesus. I could go any direction on the Word, the meditation, imagery, delivery, revelation of praying in tongues, understanding mysteries, any of those you want me to spend about 3 or 4 weeks on, okay. But what I'm telling you here, that these things worked, they worked at different places and programs and powers and anointings. And everything was shifted like wheat and started to settle down. It dropped me off at as much of the love of God as I can handle, and I've never in my entire life felt anything like it. I found out people can't really say that I have no fear unless they really don't. Because they can say that and they don't because they don't know what it is. They stepped into it where there really wasn't any. You'd know what I'm saying. Have you possibly got any idea what no fear and the love of God, what could happen through you and to you concerning His Word? Well, how can you know you can accomplish that? Never mind, just get out of the way. Now, since I can't take a whole week, I want to sing something now. What? You know, I'm going to play first so you can appreciate her music. Where's the guitar guy? Please? Would you do whatever you do to it? What?
You want to help it through the system?
Do you want me to amplify it? I don't sing for everybody. That's why I lost my calluses. They beg and everything. I just want to. I don't need that. Can I have a chair for my foot?
For your foot? Okay. Let's turn this up. Okay.
What's a C again? It's a... Okay. There it is, right? If I miss any, it's only because I haven't played in a couple of years. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. I keep the ends out for the word that binds, because He's mine. I sing these lines. I find it very, very easy to be true. A couple more strokes is all. When those angels tried to sing me to death, nobody else could hear them. They wouldn't leave me alone. I finally gave them requests to see if they were real. I didn't know. I was on a fast somewhere. I said, "Would you sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash?" It got real quiet because they were doing hymns to deceive me so they could lead me off in the wrong direction. But a little while, and the taste of love is sweet. And I go, they know it. It took them a while to sing it. I think they had to find a bass singer. It took 2 years to totally expose them, but we walked away from the trap. It was close. They'd follow my car and worship real loud, and I asked Rosalie, "Can you hear that?" Can you hear that? She said, what are they singing now? I told her. I said, now listen, see that? It's, can't you hear it? She says, no. If I was you, I wouldn't tell anybody. See if I can finish that other one. Yeah, there we go. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. I keep the words out for the tide that binds, because He's mine. I sing these lines. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself on my knees and each day is through. What I receive from Him, I know will see me through. Because He's mine, I sing these lines. That's the first time I sang in probably a year or so. Maybe I picked one up once, but I'm going back. I'm going back. Okay, let's have some more music of equal quality. Come on. Can we find it very, very easy to be true? We put our hands up like this and just tell Him, and as He worships a little with us, just tell Him how much I love Him and you love Him. And, oh, He loves that kind of fellowship, you know. Sometimes I get so blessed, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. And I don't know. Somebody says, how's your walk? When those things come in that you can have, like peace and the stillness and no fear, you get where there's not a single day that you don't dread to get up. See, whatever the devil's trying, he doesn't have the power to make you live in his world. He don't have it. You don't have to. Hallelujah, Jesus. The answer to Paul for that thorn in the flesh, a messenger signed by hell because of the abundance of his revelations. He said, I sought God 3 times for it, and He kept telling me the same thing. My grace. I've seen the 10 commandments. My grace is sufficient. When he solved the problem, he says, I will rather therefore glorify God. I'll worship Him in the midst of distresses and perplexities. Because when I worship Him, when hell's turning loose, it switches my dependency off of the flesh and onto the grace that says that I'm free. See? Just because He does something that looks like it's going to wreck your life. So what? So what? When I found I could lift my hands, worship Him and glorify Him, when every single thing said, you're finished. No. No. What He said is true. His grace is sufficient. His grace. Why don't you worship Him a little, just a little bit, please. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I met Rosalie, she sang in a choir, my wife. My friend that I drank with, he said, you're going to he got off a ship before I did, and then I didn't know he had changed. And I got off the destroyer and went back home to another place in California to earn enough money to buy a car and then come back and get a more higher paying job in Los Angeles. That's when I met Rosalie. She was this guy's brother. Sister. Sister. And he was foul-mouthed on the ship. Oh, goodness. He was, you know. And I noticed something was different about him. And they said, you're going to go out? You want to go to church with me Sunday? And I said, what? Want to go to church with me? I said, no. When did you start going to church? I said, I'll have a hangover Sunday morning. Then they come to get him, and they brought Rosalie. She got out of the car, and I go, what? Gee. Is she going? Said, oh yeah, so I think I could make it. So I chased her down to the church, and those people were funny. You know, I chased her down to the church, and it was Brother Phillips. And he says, you know, don't marry him. You don't. He needs to be saved and show some fruit or something. You don't marry him. And well, I talked her into it. And then I said, let's move. So we moved from Los Angeles way up the coast, 98 miles this side of San Francisco, or south side. So I get to drive by an Assembly of God pastor that I was growing up in a teenager that we give him such a bad time with these girls in the church. He was just glad we had gone. And I pulled up outside of the church and went hit the door and knocked on it and said, hi, do you remember me? He looks back behind me and he saw the van and it's an insignia on it. And he says, is that your van? I said, yes. And he says, what do you do now? And I'd become a preacher at that point. This is a later trip. And he says, no, you're not. I said, I'm too, I don't know. He said, you didn't write, I'm Dave Roberson. Remember, we chased your daughters around. He says, that wasn't you. I said, yes, it was. He says, what's that? I said, I told you. I'm preaching now. And he couldn't believe it. He said, I'd never believed this. Never. Brother Phillips, Rosalie's pastor, told her, stay away from me. When I grabbed her up and we moved to Oregon, he said, don't go. You're making the biggest mistake of your life. When we went back, I stopped off and preached on my way to Old Mexico and came back to the church where I was first saved in for a while. And he said, well, come and speak. And I did, and it turned into 5 or 6 weeks. And he told her not to marry me. It's a gross mistake you're making. And he just dropped himself and just said, my God, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Believe it. I came back the rest of his life and kept having meetings and things. I say that and I'll bet you where there was no hope for me. I changed some in the holiness days. But then I got a hold of the word of faith. And what got me the hold of the word of faith is because when I walked off my job, I started praying in tongues and praying and praying and praying. and not knowing what it would do. And I can tell you right now, if it would have been me that didn't pray, I wouldn't be me now. He changed me. And the wildest dream you could ever get. I couldn't tell anybody, but I was burning alive. All I wanted to do was to preach, to be used by God. I think that'd be the biggest miracle that ever happened. So I didn't know I was praying in tongues to kill the time, because I told God I would. I walked off my job, I'll pray so much. I didn't know what it was doing. I didn't know. But when I was talking about those first meetings I had and that deaf woman, you know, I went home and I wept and I cried and I raised my hands up to God. And I said, "You're going to use me like this. I'd have killed to be used like this. And you tell me that I can be used like this." I said, "Well, what have I died and went to heaven? I never dreamed this could be. But it is." That's about the time we got behind on the money and everything, and I went to catch for that guy. Brother, anyway, I won't tell his name particularly, but I went to catch for him. That's what I did. I caught people. One lady was pretty. She landed on me, and my little hands were sticking out and stuff, and it kept me out. Anyway, she was healed. So. That was when, because I know I talked about this, I can't help it. I went to catch for him in Salem, Oregon. Dangerous job. And this guy, he was helping and stuff. Then he handed me that note. I opened it enough to know, and you don't supposed to do that in front of anybody, but I wasn't religiotized yet. I opened it to know that was a check. Went, "Oh my gosh." Then I ran in the bathroom. Remember what I said?
See how much it was, huh?
Yes, I did. At first I thought it said $7.36. Oh, good. Didn't have any money. But I looked at it a little bit closer. 40 years ago, $736.
A lot of money.
I paid everything off, caught the house up, paid the store down the street for the food, paid some people that I owed them. Gave Rosalie some money. I kept 100 myself and gave 100 away. I went and found a place, a little tributary over a little bitty river, and I was overcame again. I had to stop and I looked at the water flowing down the hill and the big river the tributary was from. And I couldn't help it. I said, for better language, like I said before, I'd have killed to be used like this. And you mean you're going to pay me? And from that day to this, I may have had fights and wars like everybody, and testings and trials and all that, but there isn't a single day that I regretted getting up in His presence, facing the day. Not a day. Hallelujah. I don't know what just happened to me. I usually don't do this too often, especially out on the field. I may do it in church a little bit here and there. But not out here. I don't know what's happening. The peace and the love of God is growing, and I can hardly stand it. can hardly stand it.
Hallelujah.
I didn't have a lot of fear before. The only thing that scares me now is when he makes a speech. I'm afraid it'll be better than mine. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get so wound up, we'd go 3 or 4 months teaching away, and then there'd be a few of the weeks, it would be 3 times a day just teaching up a storm all day long, finish one and teach again. And a lot of those series came out of this. But I'm telling you, and anybody else can tell you, that lets the Holy Spirit keep the mortification process and Him exalting you instead of you. That these things are real. The peace is real. It's real. The stillness is real. The power, it's real. I mean, we're just thinking religion. I'll wear myself out. I see preachers do it all the time. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. If you don't like doing something, it'll wear you out. See, me and him's going to meet. Jesus don't come back right away.
Yes, sir.
When we're 100 years old, we're gonna meet and have a meeting.
30 years.
Yeah, 30 years is all. He will sit there and talk. Don't worry, we'll be able to hear and see and everything. Don't bother.
Glory.
This is what we, you know.
Hundred years.
Say, how was the service? Two old men beat each other up. Now you know how I got red.
Hallelujah.
Yes. You got friends like that?
Hallelujah.
He loves us. He thinks all preachers should be like me. We should be tough. Don't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought so.
Yes, sir.
But you saw the other side of me where I was, you know, coming out and calling, and when he's talking to me and telling you what's wrong and all of that. But he let me do this tonight, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm really glad. So can I sing a little bit again? No. I want her to play. You think laughing's good for you? You know how that'd increase your life. It's a good report on that part of the brain that you don't control back here. And it's in charge of uncontrollable emotions like crying. You don't go, I think I'll... Did you hurt yourself very much? Yes, I think I'll cry. The real tears only come from that place. Plus laughter. You hold that laughter back. She can't. Why? Because it comes from that part of the brain. And Dr. Peterson, a psychiatrist and doctor, medical, he was married to Vicki Jameson. Yeah, me too. She's great. See? It's uncontrollable. Okay. I appreciate demonstrations. God does that uniform at this. Thank you. Thank you. So, you ready for this? Dr. Peterson found out through research that that's where tongues, it originates in that place that you don't control. That's why you lean forward kind of into it. You yield, what you do is you surrender to it. You know you do, and then it starts falling out. You couldn't make up all those words and stuff. And then it's the same thing. You want to stop, then you can stop. But it comes from somewhere, all the words and sentences and stuff. You're not making them. Yet God did something so He could pray the real truth and call for your life. Spend 3 or 4 hours praying in tongues. You went and uttered a prayer about your ministry and life. Maybe some loved ones that He can answer. I mean, what kind of God do we have? And when He looked down through time and He said, well, they're a funny creature. You know, look, they're men, and but they won't. We can't get them to do it. Look, they want to sin and stuff. Well, you know, that's what... Well, maybe if we give them I better not go there. I told you this, but God did look down through time then and said, well, look, they fell. They had everything and they turned their back and fell. And then Jesus says, well, I'll go down and die that death for them so we can get them back to a new nature, and then they'll do what we say. So they did that and they didn't. They just run around doing nothing with that righteousness. They said, well, Holy Ghost, I guess they need power. And He went. And He lived there for a while, and they just did what they pleased. And then God the Father says, I guess it's come to this. Now we're even going to have to do their praying for them and then answer it. Has to use a part of your brain that you don't have the mastery over. That's why you bust out laughing when people won't like it sometimes. You laughing at me?
Sorry.
Tongues will bust out there, see. And they'll just keep flowing, and all they get from you is an inward turn to keep going. Amen. You had to make up all those words and form all of that. Your brain would fall out your ear. Hallelujah, Jesus. Brother Roberson, what? I can't speak with tongues. Oh, that's because you're back there. Come up here. You're here and you can't speak with tongues. You want to. Even if you don't want to, change it and want to. Come on. Come on, say, well, I'd like to have that language, but I don't think it's for me. If you're born again, it's the next step in your walk. Yeah. Quit putting it off. What happened? Jesus went back, and there come the day of Pentecost. Oh, and I got some good news for you. Are you ready? Mary was up there. What? If she was the mother of God, then she must have filled. She must have. She must have got filled of herself then. Besides, she's not the Virgin Mary anymore. Hallelujah. I just love religion. She was up in the upper room. And if she was getting filled with the Holy Ghost, was she getting filled with the Spirit of her Son or the other person of the kind? One time I was in a tent meeting. I was preaching away, having a good time. And I got to a certain verse. Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And I said, look, then... The teacher yelled out, said, yeah, but more rather blessed are they that hear that Jesus said the word of God and keep it. Then who? Then Mary? The womb that bare him, the paps he sucked? He says, yeah, she's blessed, but more blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And then I said, Look, way back then, even in his time, they were trying to turn the worship to Mary. And I was in a tent meeting. All of a sudden, this guy got up kicking chairs. And he took a chair and he threw it at me. Then he starts stomping out the door. And I said, I shouldn't have done it. I'm a smart aleck. I says, does this mean you don't like me? Why do we do that?
We don't.
He goes, but here I am. Where's he at? Just one thing on private worship. That's a you and him. When he came on me, and it started happening, I did not question him during the duration of doing. But it affects the atmosphere you walk in. You can go to a church somewhere, open the door, and go in, having not been there before. Just you walking in can affect the atmosphere in the church. I know. When it was at fullness for me, I was so amazed. I was in Brazil. He does the same there as here. And I was preaching the meeting, but it was through a translator into Portuguese. I've told you this, but you'll understand it better now. I was preaching to him, and I got done preaching. And some of them were laying on the floor around their chairs and stuff laughing. Then when I tried to call them up for where I was, they came up and some of them were crying and some of them were laughing. And they were falling down under the power. Then I lost all the catchers. They fell down. No more catchers. And then I lost the interpreter. The catchers, the interpreter, the people, everybody was laying around. And that was through a language barrier. See, I called somebody up to bear out what I'd learned. And I didn't talk to the person because he was gone, but I got some history. Oh, I'm not going to tell you. You'd know his name. If he was going to attribute the presence that he walked in, he would attribute it to the long 10 and 9 hours locked up in his room, worshiping. This is when he was a teenager, because his religion wasn't the same as his father's. So they locked him up in the room. He used the time. Whew. One time Norval saw him, Norval Hayes. He turned around to the choir and looked at it for a minute and went, they were all laying down on the floor then. It was a little new to him at that time, and he was showing Norval. Basically, Norval preached worship real hard. He was showing him what it can do. It has more to do with presence than anything I know. And praying in tongues is what delivered me to that principle. Jericho time. You ready for another one? They'll help you. You'll help him? You want us to come back? Same? Mark 2? Janet? After all, it does say Mark the good man. Oh, I didn't want to go that far. When we come back, as a friend lifter, not Brock, said, I'll be Brock. You'll come back when we come back. So we can see you. Okay? It'll be about a year, right? Unless we have a revolt. All right. You are healed, little one. Another, it said, this is not going the other way. It's going the other way. Yes, she is. Which one of them needs this? You were pointing. Looked like you were pointing at her. Is that right?
We were in agreement for that.
Oh, sure. Right. I'd cover it up, too. Everybody, take a minute. Set yourself in agreement with us. For next year.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Go ahead. Pray that one.
Amen.
Pray the next year's meeting and success for it and all that. No, we're not stopping quite yet. He's just going to pray for that. Is that hooked up?
It is hooked up.
Go ahead. Get him.
Father, we thank you right now. This is something, Father, we've never done before. Let's pray over a conference a year in advance like this. But Father, we lift it up to you now, next year's conference. We're asking you to impart your wisdom for the dates and everything else. Father, there are a lot of people who should have been here this year, but for whatever reason they weren't. Now, Father, we say they'll be here next year. And all the people who've been here this year who need to come back, they will be here next year. And Father, I want to thank you that Gary's going to be back. Bronx going to be back. Pastor Dave's going to be back. I'll definitely be here, Father. And Father, we just declare your will is going to be done. We say that all the finances are going to be released starting tonight for everybody to be here, for everything associated with this conference. Father, we say that the internet is going to reach more people next year than
Hallelujah.
Ever before. People all over the world are going to be tuning in. They're going to accidentally find these services online. They're going to watch. They're going to be healed where they're watching, filled with the Holy Spirit, saved, delivered, set free. Pastors are going to watch and they're going to realize they've been missing things and they're going to be hooked by this message, Father. And their lives are going to be changed and they're going to declare it in their churches and their congregations will be changed. Father, I thank you. I give you the praise now for giving
Hallelujah.
Us the wisdom concerning if we need to relocate to another facility, so be it, Father. We want what you want. And we thank you now that next year is going to have an even greater level of your anointing, your glory, your power, your everything, Father, your love, than what we've experienced before. Jesus, all the glory goes to you. We are doing this for you and for your kingdom. So, Father, begin ministering to all of us now in preparation for next year. And we already call next year done. In Jesus' name, amen.
And be a special blessing, too. My fingers will be tough.
Well, Pastor Dave, may your youth be renewed like the eagles. May your mind become stronger and stronger every day. May you hear the voice of God more clearly than ever before in your life. May His glory and anointing rest more heavily upon you than you've ever known. When you sleep at night, may the Holy Spirit invade your dreams. And may you have an experience with His glory every night. May every morning be an awakening of refreshing in your body and your spirit and your mind. When you open your Bible, may the pages come alive, illuminated by His glory. May you see things, truth, that rest beneath the ink on the pages. May the Holy Spirit teach you like you've never been taught. May you see more miracles, more healings, more deliverances, more works of Jesus than you've ever seen in your life. May you rise above everything that you would face now or face in the future and see it through the eyes of Jesus. May the love of God encompass you like a blanket everywhere you go. May your understanding of that love increase. May your operation in that love increase. I guess to sum it up, may you be more like Jesus than you've ever been in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Have a blessed and wonderful, well, let's see here. How about, all right, look, let's do this. Let's take a break for about 12 months, 11 and a half, and we'll see you then.